Feels like I've been on vacation the past couple of weeks. Last week we had Oksana and Boaz, and then the week before that we had Thomas. So it's been a good couple of weeks. So my title this morning is Jesus' Prayer. And you can turn with me to John chapter 17. I'm going to read this from the Amplified. I'll just start at verse 1, but this is basically I'm not sure if they're still in the upper room, but it's basically the Last Supper there with Jesus and his disciples. And he's basically having an open prayer to God here, this whole chapter is. So John 17, starting at verse 1, and this is the Amplified. It says, "When Jesus had spoken these things, he raised his eyes to heaven in prayer and said, 'Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son, so that your Son may glorify you, just as you have given him power and authority over all mankind. Now glorify him, so that he may give eternal life to all whom you have given him to be his, permanently and forever. Now this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true, supreme, and sovereign God, and in the same manner know Jesus as the Christ whom you have sent. I have glorified you down here on the earth by completing the work that you gave me to do." And obviously, I think, just like when he was praying in the garden, you know, he says, "Your will, not my will." That's the same thing that he's talking about here. It's everything that Jesus did here on earth was from God the Father. You know, it was work that God gave him to do. And so it's like if that is Jesus doing the work of the Father, then how much more does that apply to our lives, that we should be about the Father's work and not our own? So verse 5, "Now, Father, glorify me together with yourself, with the glory and majesty that I had with you before the world existed. I have manifested your name and revealed your very self, your real self, to the people whom you have given me out of the world. They were yours, and you gave them to me, and they have kept and obeyed your word." So this, I think, is really important. The disciples, the 12 disciples, they were specifically given to Jesus by God. And I believe that applies to us. There are people in our lives that God gives us specifically for us to help and minister to. So I think that's just important to remember that. When there are people like that in our lives, we got to, you sort of got to make extra effort, I think, to make sure you help them out and minister to them. So verse 7, "Now at last they know with confident assurance that all you have given me is from you. It is really and truly yours. For the words which you gave me, I have given them. And they received and accepted them and truly understood with confident assurance that I came from you, from your presence, and they believed without any doubt that you sent me. I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you." That's also important, you know? I mean, this is Jesus talking. He's saying, "I don't pray for the world." You would think if anybody, Jesus would be praying for the world. He's praying for the 12 disciples that God's given him. And that goes back to show you that that's why it's important to, like, we lift each other up in prayer. Now, you do pray for sinners, you know, you pray for people that come along your paths. But I think this is important because I sort of had a revelation about this. I don't know if anybody you've been in prayer before and you're sort of praying for people and it's like, man, I feel like I should just sit here and pray for the whole world, but then it could be overwhelming. And so it shows you that it's not your job to pray for the entire world. You know, you can't sit there and pray for every single person. There ain't enough time in the day to do that. But you pray for those who God has given you, you know. You keep those people in your prayer. And then again, you know, you do pray for sinners or people who call up for a prayer request. So if Jesus says that he did not pray for the world, but for those that God gave him, then I think that applies to us too. So verse 10, "And all things that are mine are yours. And all things that are yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, yet they are still in the world. And I am coming to you, Holy Father. Keep them in your name, the name which you have given me, so that they may be one just as we are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in your name, which you have given me. and I guarded them and protected them, and not one of them was lost, except the son of destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and I say these things while I am still in the world, so that they may experience my joy made full and complete and perfect within them, filling their hearts with my delight. I have given them your word, the message you gave me, and the world has hated them because they are not of the world and do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world and do not belong to it. So that's a point to remember, that we do not belong to this world. That's why they hate us, because they hated God, they hated Jesus, they're going to hate us. And you can see that, you know, now, right now with Israel, you know, God gave Israel, you know, set up as a promise for us, and the world hates them. You can see that it's not just a hate, it's an evil hatred, it's the devil. And we just got to remember that we're not of this world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but that you keep them and protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Set them apart for your purposes. Make them holy. Your word is truth. Just as you commissioned and sent me into the world, I also have commissioned and sent them, the believers, into the world. For their sake, I sanctify myself to do your will, so that they also may be sanctified and set apart and dedicated and made holy in your truth. I do not pray for these alone. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever believe and trust in me through the message, that they all may be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be one in us, so that the world may believe without any doubt that you sent me. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, just as we are one, I in them and you in me, that they may be perfected and completed into one, so that the world may know without any doubt that you sent me and that you have loved them just as you have loved me. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have given to me as your gift to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory which you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known you and has never acknowledged you in the revelation of your mercy, yet I have always known you, and these believers know without any doubt that you sent me. And I have made your name known to them, and will continue to make it known, so that the love which you have loved me may be in them, overwhelming their heart, and I may be in them. And I want to point out here verse 12, because, you know, in verse 12 he talks about, while I was with them, I was keeping them in your name which you have given me, and I guarded them and protected them. So again, it was very important that Jesus's work was to keep the 12 disciples. If you will, turn with me to John chapter 6. Because those, you know, I mean, Jesus came across thousands of people while he was here on earth, you know. He ministered to many, many people. Yet his actual work was to the 12 disciples. And I think that's important, because we got to remember that, because it's so easy, you know, like I noticed just in my own life, you know, it. Sometimes it's so easy you get pulled in different directions. You've got to remember, what is God wanting you to do? So John chapter 6, starting at verse 53. This is Jesus. And he says, and Jesus said to them, this is also the Amplified. And Jesus said to them, I assure you and most solemnly say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, unless you believe in me as Savior and believe in the saving power of my blood, which will be shed for you, you do not have life in yourselves. The one who eats my flesh and drinks my blood believes in me, accepts me as Savior, as eternal life that is now, possesses it, and I will raise him up from the dead on the last day. For my flesh is true spiritual food, and my blood is true spiritual drink. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood believes in me, accepts me as Savior, remains in me, and I in the same way remain in them. will remain in him. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, even so the one who feeds on me, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, will also live because of me. This is the bread which came down out of heaven. It is not like the manna that our fathers ate, and they eventually died. The one who eats this bread, believes in me, accepts me as Savior, will live forever. He said these things in a synagogue while he was teaching in Capernaum. When many of his disciples heard this, they said, "This is a difficult and harsh and offensive statement. Who can be expected to listen to it?" And of course, Jesus was not talking about physical flesh and blood. He was talking about spiritual. So verse 61 says, "But Jesus, aware that his disciples were complaining about it, asked them, 'Does this cause you to stumble and take offense? What then will you think if you see the Son of Man ascending to the realm where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh conveys no benefit. It is of no account. The words I have spoken to you are spirit and life, providing eternal life. But still there are some of you who do not believe and have faith. For Jesus knew from the beginning who did not believe and who would betray him. And he was saying, 'This is the reason I have told you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted him. That is, unless he is enabled to do so by the Father.' As a result of this, many of his disciples abandoned him and no longer walked with him. So Jesus said to the 12 disciples, 'You do not want to leave too, do you?' Simon Peter answered, 'Lord, to whom shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. You are our only hope. We have believed and confidently trusted, and even more, we have come to know by personal observation and experience that you are the Holy One of God, the Christ, the Son of the living God.' Jesus answered them, 'Did I not choose you, the 12 disciples, and yet one of you is a devil?' Now he was speaking of Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, for he, one of the 12 disciples, was about to betray him." So if you look at verse 66, it says, as a result of this, you know, that what he was talking about, many of his disciples left him and no longer walked with him. And it's like, you know, what if Jesus was like to the 12? Well, I've taught you guys good enough, so I'm going to go ahead and leave you guys here, and I'm going to go back after these other disciples that left me, you know. But that wasn't Jesus's work. Jesus's work was to stay with the 12. And I just think that's important because, like I said, I know this happens to me, like, and that's what the devil wants to do. He wants to bring people along our paths that, you know, just trying to get off our course, you know. When you know God's given you someone that you want to be there to help and minister to, you want to stay with that person. Somebody else will probably come right along and be like, "Ooh, I'm going to go help this person." But no, it's that person that God is. So it's like with the church, you know, I know that mine and Esther's job is here at the church. You know, we're pastors of the church, so the sheep of this church is who we ought to be with and help with. And then, you know, I probably point this out quite a bit, but I always am encouraged back when I remember I heard Carter Carnan talk about that one time when, you know, he was still a pastor in a small church in Canada, and he went out on some sort of like a traveling missions trip to, you know, teach and minister at other congregations, I think. And I remember he was getting sick, and he was walking one day out on the road or something, and he just cried out to God, you know, like, "Why am I keep sick?" And God was like, "Because you're not doing what I called you to do. You need to go back to the church and be that pastor." So I know that's what's helped me, because when we're pastors, man, it's like there's a lot of things that want it, let alone just, you know, we have work, we have jobs, we have friends and family members, you know. So this is what God was encouraging me with, is like, just as God gave Jesus those 12 disciples, you know, it wasn't millions of people. You know, I mean, this is the Son of God. Jesus, you were to think Jesus could have, you know, took care of millions of people. But it was those specific 12 disciples that God gave Jesus. So I feel like that's the way it is for us. There's probably someone, it could just be one person, or it could be a handful of people that God's given specifically to us that we ought to help and minister to. So that's what I encourage you today, is just, sometimes it feels like you're getting overwhelmed, just go back to God and ask God to show you who's that person that you're to help and minister to at that moment in time. So that is all that I have for you today.
Amen. Amen. I don't even know if I need to preach after that. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. But I will, I guess. All right. So I'm going to go over, because we've had a slight couple weeks of not talking about this, I'm going to go over what we studied in conquering demonic spirits before. So we're kind of all up to date. All right. So our base scripture was Matthew 16:13-19. And this is Jesus talking to his disciples in Caesarea Philippi. Okay, so you remember that story? He's standing there. It's an evil, evil city. It's the red district. It's the bad place. Nobody goes, especially Jews. They do not go there. It's against everything they believe in. But Jesus did this because he wanted to show them reality. This is where the fight is, you know. Jesus takes it to the hardest part so they recognize that even there he's king. Amen. So the very first one we talked about was the revelation of Jesus Christ, meaning the revelation is the revealing of who Jesus is to you, yourself, in your heart. Jesus has been revealed to the whole world, but not everybody sees him. Who do you see? When you think of the name of Jesus, who is he to you? What does he mean to you? Is he important to you? Is he number one in your life? Do you want him? Amen. And then the next one was the supremacy of Jesus Christ. And that means Jesus Christ reigns supreme. He is number one in the universe. Whether you ever acknowledge that or not, he will and has been and always will be number one. He is the supreme ruler of the universe. Our salvation only comes because he died on the cross. That's it. It doesn't come from anything else. It doesn't come from how good or bad you were. It comes from you laying your life down for him, saying, Jesus, here I am. Take me. Fill me with you. I just want you. That's what it is. Okay? And then the next part goes into revelation brings authority. So by Jesus Christ being revealed into your heart, then you receive authority and you can walk in authority. If you do not know who Jesus is, then you cannot walk in authority. It's really basic. It's an easy thing, but so many of us don't even know what walking in authority is, so we just push that aside. You know, that's the complicated part of Christianity that, you know, only those pastors get involved in. I'm happy just coming to church, you know. Don't talk about that part. That's too much, you know. But when you walk in authority, boy, it opens up and it closes things and it changes your life. Amen? So the next part, and this is where it talks about in Matthew 16:13-19, bound or loosed. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven, all in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot bind or loose without authority, right? It's just like a policeman. The law backs up the policeman. He can walk out there and he can stand in the street and stop traffic. You know, it's simple. But if I would go out there and try to stop traffic, I would probably get run over. But a policeman has that authority. And that's what we as Christians, we need to walk in that authority. And I think sometimes we do what we shouldn't do is we walk out and try to have authority where we don't have authority. You only have authority in the name of Jesus Christ, right? And let me tell you, you have authority in the spirit realm, but you do not have authority over the will of a person. You cannot force a person to believe or not believe in Jesus Christ. Every person has their own will that God put in them. That's the free will that we were born with. That separates us from all things in the universe. Our choice to serve or not serve our Creator. Amen. And then the next one was walking in authority in the supernatural, which is basically what we just talked about. The supernatural is not natural, okay? It's not. What we see, like when you get injured, say you break your leg, you go to the doctor and they cast it, like Aiden has a broken arm and it's in a cast right now and it's healing. Supernatural would be if he broke his arm and you pray for it, suddenly, boom, it's healed. That is supernatural. That doesn't normally happen, okay? When Jesus opened blind eyes, that doesn't normally happen. When he opened deaf ears, when he raised people from the dead, doesn't normally happen. When people get radically delivered, when they have been the worst person that you can ever imagine, and then they receive Jesus and they're like, whoa, night and day, that is supernatural, okay? And then we talked about how to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. How to walk in the authority of Jesus Christ is your knowledge of the Word of God. If you know the Word of God, this is your toolbook. Okay, this is like you look in here and you're wondering, well, how do I get healed? Well, His Word says, by His stripes you were healed. And you think, well, I'm not that strong of a person and I don't know how I can get through this. But Jesus says you are more than a conqueror in Christ Jesus, right? You're not, none of this is based on your strength and your will and how good you are and how great you are and how many things you've done for the Lord. It's none of that. It's what you believe that the Word says. That's how you walk in the authority of Jesus Christ. That's how you carry that out, right? Okay. And then the next one was the battle with self. That's probably the hardest thing to have to endure. You know, yourself will constantly think, well, can I do that? Is it possible? How do I overcome this? What's the next thing to do? Or yourself has these innate desires that sometimes are good, sometimes they're not good. And you have to control those desires. You have to die to yourself every single day. You have to crucify that flesh. Anytime it gets off of what the Word says, you have to come back to the Word. You have to take authority over yourself before you can take authority over anything else, all right? And then what the very last one we talked about was family warfare. And that was, I think, probably the hardest one. Family warfare is intense because not only are you affected, your household's affected. Everyone in contact with you is affected. And you see them every day. You talk to them every day. They know all of the ups and downs of you as a person. They know your shortcomings. They know how you are. So when you say, I'm redeemed by the blood of the Lamb, they look at you and they're like, are you serious? You can barely get through the day. I don't know what you're talking about. That's family warfare. That's believing what God says, no matter what's going on in your family, standing on His Word for your family, for yourself, all together. Amen? All right, so this week, so we're going to continue on to the next part. And this week, we're going to talk about the Jezebel spirit, and the title is Stop Tolerating Jezebel. And I don't know if you guys remember, we went through the Free Indeed series with Robert Morris, and one of them was him talking about tolerating Jezebel. And a lot of times, most often, if you talk to any person in the body of Christ, they think that Jezebel, because the name Jezebel is female, because Ahab's wife was female, that the Jezebel spirit is only a female, that it only comes upon women. And it's not. The Jezebel spirit is gender neutral. And I want to point this out before I continue on with the rest of these is I am mainly, there are a lot of bad spirits in the world. And there are a lot of bad things. I am specifically going against and talking about what's coming against the body of Christ. What's affecting us as a body of believers. What we are wrestling with almost on a daily basis. Okay, so I could continue on a year and go through each and every one, but I'm just going against the main ones that are attacking the body of Christ, okay? Because, you know, like Jesus, when he spoke to the church in Revelation, he pointed out specific things. Okay, this church is going through this. This is what you need to do. This is what you need to strengthen. This is what you need to get rid of. Okay, so as I'm going through this, I'm only doing this because specifically, it's for the church. If we want to go into more detail, we can do that on our own, in our own Bible studies together as a church, you know. Other than that, it would take way too long, and we're going on to other things, okay? All right, so Ephesians 6 talks about we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against every principality, power, rulers of darkness, heirs of this world. We're not wrestling with flesh and blood. So I don't want you to think that when you hear about someone talking about the spirit of Jezebel that you think, well, we're just fighting with a woman. No, we're not. Okay, let's cut that rope. All right, this is a gender neutral spirit. All demonic spirits are gender neutral. Okay, they go after people's souls. They don't care who you are. All right, so I want you to turn to Revelation chapter 2. And I'm going to read this in the King James, and then I'm going to read it in the Amplified. I'm going to start at verse 18. This is Jesus, and I want to point this out. This is Jesus talking to the church, okay? Jesus, not Jesus talking to the world. Like, I really like how Michael pointed that out. Jesus was talking to his disciples. You know, like, a lot of times, you know, people read this and they want to take this out to the world. And it's like, you know, you can't just cast your pearls before swine. You can't just go out to the world and tell them you need this and you need that. And they're like, I don't even know what you're talking about. You know, it's like feeding meat to a baby. You don't do that. You know, you give them milk. It's just, we all know that. This is common sense. So this is Jesus talking to the church. Verse 18. And unto the angel of the church in Thyatira write, these things saith the Son of God, who hath his eyes like unto a flame of fire, and his feet are like fine brass. I know thy works, and charity, and service, and faith, and thy patience, and thy works, and the last to be more than the first. Notwithstanding, I have a few things against thee, because thou sufferest that woman Jezebel, which calleth herself a prophetess, to teach and to seduce my servants to commit fornication, and to eat things sacrificed unto idols. And I gave her space to repent of her fornication, and she repented not. Behold, I will cast her into a bed, and them that commit adultery with her into great tribulation, except they repent of their deeds. And I will kill her children with death, and all the churches shall know that I am he which searcheth the reins and hearts, and I will give unto every one of you according to your works. But unto you I say, and unto the rest in Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine, and which have not known the depths of Satan, as they speak, I will put upon you none other burden, but that which you have already, hold fast till I come. And he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. And he shall rule over them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers. even as I received of my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to read this in the Amplified, and I'm going to break this down, okay? So the same thing, 2:18. And to the angel, the divine messenger, and if you guys remember what Robert Morris talked about, that's basically meaning the minister of that church, the pastor, the shepherd. Jesus is talking to him, okay? Of the church in Thyatira, write, these are the words of the Son of God, who has eyes that flash like a flame of fire in righteous judgment. That means that he sees everything. Jesus sees everything. There's nothing we can hide from him. And whose feet are like burnished white hot bronze. I know your deeds, your love and faith and service and patient endurance, and that your last deeds are more numerous and greater than the first. That means that they are a faithful people. They have done many, many good works, okay? So this is Jesus talking to the church. The church has done many good works, and they're continuing, and it's growing, and it's multiplying. And then verse 20, he says, but I have this charge against you, that you tolerate the woman Jezebel, who calls herself a prophetess, claiming to be inspired, and she teaches and misleads my bondservants so that they commit acts of sexual immorality and eat food sacrificed to idols. I gave her time to repent, to change her inner self and her sinful way of thinking, but she has no desire to repent of her immorality and refuses to do so. Listen carefully. I will throw her on a bed of sickness, and those who commit adultery with her, I will bring into great anguish unless they repent of her deeds. And I want to break that down. So by committing adultery, it means that they are coming into agreement with that spirit. It means that whoever has that Jezebel spirit, it means that all of these people are following her, they're in agreement. They become one with that spirit of adultery, right? That's what that is, okay? And then it says, I will bring her into great anguish unless they repent of her deeds. Isn't that incredible? Unless they repent of her deeds. It's the spirit that's causing this. But because people have become aligned to it, unless the body of Christ, they've come aligned to it, unless they repent of what's going on, Jesus didn't say it's their works, it's her deeds. She's the one causing this, okay? It's the evil spirit that's doing this, okay? So get that in your head. Jezebel's spirit's doing this, okay? And then verse 23, and I will kill her children, her followers, with pestilence, thoroughly annihilating them. And what that means is every demonic spirit that has come in because of the Jezebel spirit, Jesus is going to deal with it. He is going to cut it off. When he cuts off the Jezebel spirit and when he destroys it, he destroys every single thing that's been led in after that. Jesus does. But without repentance, that doesn't happen. Okay? He will give you time to repent as a people. Verse 24, but to the rest of you in Thyatira who do not hold this teaching, who have not explored and known the depths of Satan, as they call them, I place no other burden on you except to hold tightly to what you have until I come. Meaning, sometimes there are other people in the body of Christ that are going through this, and you may be right there along that beside them serving, but you're not partaking in that adultery. You're not partaking in becoming one with that Jezebel spirit. You're being faithful in what God has called you to do. And so Jesus is saying, hold tightly, hold tightly. Don't partake in it. Just hold tightly until he comes. And then verse 26, and he who overcomes, this is the most powerful thing, he who overcomes the world through believing that Jesus is the Son of God, and he who keeps my deeds, doing things that please me until the very end, to him I will give authority and power over the nations, and he shall shepherd and rule them with a rod of iron, as the earthen pots are broken in pieces, as I also have received authority and power to rule them from my Father, and I will give him the morning star. He who has an ear, let him hear and heed what the Spirit says to the churches. This is why the Jezebel spirit comes into the body of Christ, because anyone who has authority and power over the nations, that Jezebel spirit wants it. And I want to point out verse 20, it says, verse 24, it says, but to the rest of you who do not hold to this teaching. And so what that is that's false doctrine. And what the Jezebel spirit does is it comes in and it sneaks into the body of Christ. And usually, you know, it'll show itself and you'll see it and you'll deal with it and it's gone. But sometimes it's very sneaky. It'll just subtly take things apart little by little. And what it does, and I know because we have experienced this as a body, is the Jezebel spirit comes in little by little and by little. And the way it succeeds is through a church split. When that happens, it's gotten its way. The way it succeeds in a family is by splitting a family. That's when the Jezebel spirit has succeeded. But there are ways to overcome it, okay? And we're going to go into that in a little bit. So verse 26, the Jezebel spirit goes after those with authority, whether they have authority spiritually or physically, because it wants to have that authority, okay? It controls, manipulates, deceives, and stresses out leadership or those in authority. It goes after their weaknesses and tries to tear them down. And I can tell you, every one of us who's leaders in this room, we have weaknesses, okay? Just a hint there. If you don't think we have weaknesses, we do. That's why we need Jesus. And what it is the Jezebel spirit comes in and tries to grab that weakness and destroy your life. And that's why we have to pray for our leaders, right? Not just Michael and I, but every one of the leaders in this room, every one of you who is a leader, you need that prayer. You need that strength in your life, because if the Jezebel spirit comes in and goes after one, guarantee it's going to go after all of us. Okay? We need to pray for each other. All right? It can come from someone who suddenly shows up to save the day, then sticks around to sow discord and enmity among believers. Again, we have also experienced this. And a lot of you probably remember when we had another church in here for a little while and their leadership came in. It was that same spirit. They wanted to come in and rescue us because we had been, quote unquote, abandoned. You know, we needed help as a body. They were just taking advantage, you know, seeing an opportunity and taking advantage of that, but that wasn't God. God had a specific calling and a purpose for this place, and he's meeting it. Amen. All right, the Jezebel spirit does not like unity. Many times it will oppose the fivefold ministry by separating one or some against others. Whichever of the five, and we all know the five, right? Prophets, pastors, teachers, evangelists, apostles. That's the fivefold ministry. They have the most authority in the church. And what happens is the Jezebel spirit will go after one, or he'll go after two. And when it succeeds, it destroys the ministry. Can't let that in at all. Amen. If it comes in, and it will, because it's against the body of Christ, it's going to happen. Deal with it. All right. Each one of us, we deal with it. There are people who come to the body of believers afflicted with the Jezebel spirit and not even realizing it. They don't even know that the devil is using them. They could have been taught to be that way from their parents or from wrong influences. It is crucial to have compassion for people, but remember what Jesus says. Do not tolerate the Jezebel spirit, okay? Have compassion for people. Do not tolerate the Jezebel spirit. Stand up against the enemy, tormenting your fellow brothers and sisters in the Lord. Don't just talk about them. Do something about it. Jesus told us to make disciples. Some people don't even know what they are wrestling with when it comes to conquering demonic spirits. They don't even know what's afflicting them. You know, when I was younger, I didn't know what was afflicting me. I needed people who were mature in the Lord to tell me this is what's going on in your life. Some fights, and this is what we're going to get into, okay? Now we're fighting against the spirit. Some fights are a little easier than others. Just like verse 21 says, Jesus gave her space to repent, okay? Jesus gave her space to repent. Repentance is the easiest way to win any battle. The easiest way, whether it's personally or corporately. Whether we're repenting to God in our hearts or whether we're repenting together as a body. That's the easiest way. You repent, you go on, boom, it's dealt with. Repentance means you turn completely around, okay? It doesn't just mean that you're sorry and you're going to do it tomorrow. That is not true repentance. True repentance actually deals with the heart. It's a true change, okay? Knowing that you need help and turning your heart to Jesus is the best way to get delivered from any demonic spirit. All of these that we're talking about, repentance is the best way. The hard battles, okay? The hard battles are the ones where we don't think we have a problem or we are afraid to face that problem. The hard ones are where we believe we are right and everyone else is wrong, okay? Those battles take time and prayer to be won. Anyone ever been there? Yes. Yeah, I know I have. The hard battles are where we have let the enemy take over our lives, and he brings in all manner of sickness and disease, heartache and weariness. Those are the hard battles. I can testify to you right now, I have gone through the easy battles and I've gone through the hard battles. Without Jesus, I wouldn't even be here. Without people pointing out, hey, there is something going on in your life, you need to deal with it. Without mature Christians leading me and guiding me and discipling me, I wouldn't have gotten through those hard battles. And there were a lot of times, like when I was younger, especially, I was dealing with selfishness and pride and haughtiness. And a lot of that was, it's an immature kind of thing. And then as you get older, like as I got older, I realized that it was buried deeper than what I thought it was. And so I had to deal with it. And I still have to keep my body in check. I still have to keep my flesh in line every single day. It's not that I am 100% perfect, because every day I have to get up and I have to decide again. I am not going to be selfish. I'm going to get out of this bed and I'm going to go to work. Right? Yeah. That's conquering that. Amen. I am not going to be prideful. I am going to love others. Right? I have to choose. I have to choose that. Okay? So just like Paul says, and I know we can all relate to this, sometimes I do what I don't want to do, and I don't do what I want to do. It's like, where am I going to win? So sometimes when we mess up, it can be so frustrating, not only to ourselves, but to everyone else around us. So how do we conquer this Jezebel spirit? First of all, every battle is won easier with a strong body of believers. Amen. With a spirit of unity instead of a spirit of division. Repent, number one. Stand on the authority of Jesus Christ. Fight with the word of truth instead of false doctrine. Just like it said in verse 24. What happens is the Jezebel spirit welcomes in false doctrine. And you know, you can't mix oil and water. You can't mix truth and falsities. You can't mix a lie with the truth and say, well, it's okay. But if Jesus says it's not, it's not. There is no gray. It is black and white. Amen. Fight with the word of truth, that's Jesus Christ, instead of false doctrine. What is the word of truth? It is every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Everything that Jesus says is truth. Amen. If you don't know what that truth is, read the word. And I can tell you that every leader in this room right now speaks the word of truth. And sometimes we mess up and sometimes we may say the wrong thing out of our flesh, but we believe in the word of truth. Even if we aren't perfect, we believe it. Amen. So if you're not sure, go to the word. Amen. Are you frustrated with how your life is going today? Are you tired of trying to please people? Does it seem like people get angry at you for no apparent reason? These are signs that you need Jesus fighting your battles. Say yes to Jesus today. Welcome him into your heart. Let him transform you from the inside out. Watch what he will do for you. His love can melt the hardest heart and make alive the deadest soul. Amen. There is no other name but the name of Jesus. And a lot of times we go through our lives and we think, well, how does that really talk about what I'm going through? What I'm going through. I don't see anything in the word about what I'm going through. And it's because you're not looking. If you are struggling with something or you are struggling with someone, I guarantee you Jesus has an answer in his word. And the amazing thing is, if you don't know anything, if you know the name of Jesus, he is there for you. I love this last song where it talks about speak the name of Jesus over everything. When you speak the name of Jesus, you may not know how to pray, but you speak the name of Jesus, the name above all names, things are going to change. All you have to do is believe. Believe in that name. You know, the reason why it's called faith is because faith is supernatural. Faith is not something that you see. You can't just grab a hold of it and be like, okay, this is my faith right here. I have it in my hand. No, it's not. It's in your heart. It's what you believe. You have to believe the truth in order for the truth to affect your life. Amen. So I'm going to end this with this prayer out of a book by Jeremiah Johnson. And it's called The Warrior Bride. And there are a lot of, you know, if you've ever read John Ramirez books, there are a lot of really good ones that talk about these things that you're dealing with on a spiritual level. And also, if you have not read Keys to Freedom Discipleship Course by Mercy Multiplied, when you go through that, man, it deals with the roots of the issues in our lives. And a lot of times, all of these demonic spirits, they come in because we don't know those roots and those issues that have been in our lives from a long time ago. And so by not getting those dealt with, we try to conquer all these other things, you know. I was listening to one of the Mercy Multiplied podcasts, and they were talking about dealing with this, you know, and they helped their girls out. And they were saying, you know, it's like when you picture that tree, like say you have an apple tree and you don't want apples. And so you cut off all the apples and you cut off all those limbs. And you think, well, then hopefully oranges will come on it next. No, it doesn't happen. It's not going to happen. If the spirit of fear is operating in your life, it doesn't matter if you cut off behavior issues. If you try to cut off relationships, that spirit of fear is going to come up in another way. And it always does. You have to deal with it. You have to deal with what's in your heart in order to see the true fruits of the Spirit. Amen? All right, so we're going to pray this. You don't have to stand yet. Just close your eyes and agree with me on this. So, Father, in Jesus' name, we ask that you would forgive us as a body of believers for tolerating the Jezebel spirit, where we have chosen convenience and comfort instead of confrontation. Please forgive us, Holy Spirit. Fill us with godly sorrow that brings true repentance. Break the fear of man off of our lives. Deliver us from the need to please people instead of desiring to please you. Root out anything that is hindering us from hearing and obeying your voice. We ask for the spirit and power of Elijah, which is the spirit and power of Jesus, to confront Jezebel. We bind and command all migraines, all sickness, all disease, all insomnia to go, to come off of our minds in the name of Jesus. Every terror, every bad dream we have experienced in the night, we speak peace over in the name of Jesus. We break the power of word curses, every evil thing spoken against us, all confusion off of our lives in the name of Jesus. Let healing begin to come to our rejection wounds, and let the spirit of Jezebel break in the name of Jesus. We command it to break now in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, now you can stand. We'll pray and dismiss. I just want to encourage you, you know, this is just one of the things that is coming against the body of Christ. This is just one. But there are a lot of things that come against us as a body of believers. For some of you guys, you know, some of us can stand harder things than others. You may be going through a battle that I can't even imagine facing. You know, so you just need to put your hope and faith in Jesus, because he truly is the only one who can deliver you from whatever battle you're facing. I can't deliver you. No person in your life can deliver you. There are not enough people in this world to deliver you, except there is Jesus. Amen. There is Jesus. Praise God. Okay, let's go ahead and pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you for your word today. Holy Spirit, we thank you for what you are doing in our lives. If there is anyone here today who does not know Jesus, who has never received him as their Savior, I just ask you right now that you would open up your heart to receive him. In Jesus' name, open up your heart where you have been hurt, where you don't understand what's going on in this world. You don't understand why people are against you. Turn your heart to Jesus. Turn your heart to him. Let that love flow into you 100%. And Father, in Jesus' name, every hurt that we have been through, God, we just thank you that you are healing us. In Jesus' name, we loose the spirit of love to flow through this body of believers. We loose the spirit of unity. We thank you, God, that we are united in Jesus Christ, that Jesus is our Savior, and we belong to him. In Jesus' name, we thank you for our time together next door. Holy Spirit, speak through us. Whatever we need to say to each other, thank you, Lord, that our conversations are directed in Jesus' name by your Holy Spirit. Amen. You are dismissed.